Please return your seats and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and let's read the first 18 verses. Isaiah chapter 1, and I commence reading. I could still hear the flipping of the pages of the Bible. Let me give you a moment to get there. The Bible reads, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know my people. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ha, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offsprings of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why would you still be stuck down? Why would you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, nor of lambs, or of gods. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hurts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my face from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we gather this morning, consciousness of our own shortcomings and sins, but also conscious of the fact that we come before a holy God. Our dear God, we plead with you that you speak to each one of us as individuals and cause all of us to examine ourselves before you this morning. We pray, dear God, that calls that will open our hearts and our minds and ask that you will indeed speak to us. Our Father, we plead with you this morning, thinking of those who are present this morning, some that have been coming to this church and hear your word being preached and yet still in rebellion against you. We ask that the words, the appeal, the invitation of Isaiah 1:18 may make sense to them this morning, and that they may see their need of you, and that they may come to you in Christ and find forgiveness, that they too can sing of this amazing assurance that we have because of Christ. Bless the preaching of your word, for we ask in your Son's name. Amen. We continue in a series of messages that I began sometime this year, and the messages entitled Sermons to the Natural Man. And the design or the desire of these sermons is to bring about a deep conviction of the reality of spiritual things and to bring about the solemn conditions of sinners before God as we live in this passing world. And the design of this sermon and the desire is that those of us that have been attending church or that have heard the gospel preached a number of times and have become used to the gospel may once again ponder the seriousness of what God's word says, and that they may cast their minds on what God is saying and begin to see themselves in light of what God sees them. The purpose of these messages is to bring about self-reflection and to deepen our consciousness to the reality of sin, and especially to deepen the consciousness of those still living in sin. The last time I was preaching, we centered our thoughts on Psalm 139, verse 7 through to verse 12. And there we saw that this God who is infinite cannot be escaped by anyone. God who is infinite, no one can run away from him. We learned from there that not even death can hide you from God. Not even distance can hide you from God. And not even darkness can hide you from God. And the plea was for you to see yourself in view of what God has revealed about yourself and your sinfulness, and in view of what God says about himself, that you may turn away from your sins and put your hope and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Because a day is coming when you will face this God. You can't run away from this God. And it is pointless and also foolishness to continue to run away from such a being. This morning we come to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And in that verse, Isaiah brings an installment of truth on the need to scrutinize yourself in the presence of God, or to examine yourself along with this great God. The prophet Isaiah ministered in Israel during difficult and turbulent times. And when you look at the verses we've just read, it gives us a picture and also an idea of the situations that were prevailing during his ministry. You look at the nation that has abandoned God when you read verse 2. And when you go to verse 3, you see a people living in open rebellion against God. And Isaiah in verse 3 is saying that these people, because of their rebellion against God, they had become dumber than animals. Because animals know their master's crib and they can make their way to their master's crib. But these individuals had abandoned God and they had become like wild animals. He goes on to say that they have actually become sick and they are spiritually sick and desperate in need of God. You see in verse 9 and 10, he says that they've all become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 15 to 11, you see that the Lord was not pleased with their sacrifices and their religious observations. And now in the midst of such a sad commentary, in the midst of such a picture, we see God acting in grace towards such individuals. It is in the midst of this sad commentary that you hear those words found in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And you see that it is the offended being who is going out of his way and extending his grace to such a people who have become rebellious, a people who had become wicked, and the people who had abandoned the ways of their God. And the words of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 underscores the truth we encounter throughout the scriptures, that God has gone out of his way ever since sin entered this world, as we see from Genesis 3. God has gone out of his way and is calling out a people that are rebellious against him. And he's saying to them, come, let us reason together. Come, you find grace in my son. Come, you find forgiveness of sin in my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this call is extended to all of us this morning, to come and find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing we note in verse 18 is the appeal that God makes. The appeal that he makes. And it is in those first two words, come now. Come now. Now, in the opening of those words, in the opening of Isaiah 18, we see the seriousness and the agency that God attaches to this appeal. And he's saying, come now. Now, when you think of the person saying these words, or the being saying these words, and to whom these words are being said, it is astonishing that the self-existing God, The God who's self-sufficient. The God who has always been. The God who has lived in eternity. It is this God who's going out of his way and is making this appeal to individuals who contribute nothing to his own existence. It is amazing that this God, this almighty God who created all things, he's the one who's saying, come now. And the word come is an imperative. It is a command. And God's command is for them to come now. And God is saying, there must be no delay. God knows what Israel does not know. God sees what Israel could not see. God knows that the rebellion of the children of Israel will lead them in eternal condemnation. God knows. God sees. In fact, he himself has planned it that way. And he attaches seriousness to this appeal. And he's saying, come now. He knows their condition. He knows their desperate need of the Savior. And he knows that as long as they continue in their life of sin, and as long as they continue to break my covenant that I've made with them, as long as they continue in their stubbornness, the end is eternal condemnation in hell. And he's reaching out to them, a wayward people, and he's calling them back to himself. This is an amazing appeal. Because this God knows how these people have been living. And he's not overlooking their sins. But he still makes an appeal and he says, come. He knows the depth of their sins, the depravity of their hearts. And still says, come now. Now the appeal of this invitation still stands. It's been extended to you this morning. God is saying, come now. That is his command to you. He's saying, make no delays. Come now. I know where you've been. I know your life. I know your condition. I know the depravity of your heart. I know the extent of your rebellion of your heart. I know your sins. I know what you've done. I know what you've continued to do. But there's something more I know about you, that this path will lead you to hell. And God is saying to you, all you could see is the pleasures of sin for that moment. You can't see what lies ahead. All you could see is the satisfaction that you gain if you continue in sin, but you don't know the consequences of your sins. And he attaches the agency to his appeal. Come now. Don't wait. Don't try and make yourself better. Don't try to begin to work on yourself. You will never come if you try to change yourself. But come now. Come to God. Let God be the one to scrutinize you. Let God be the one to examine you. Let God be the one to cleanse you from your sins. Come now, is God's appeal to you. He knows how deep you've sunk into sin. He knows the consequences of your sins. He knows what lies ahead of your path. He knows what lies ahead of your life.
And if you could only see what God sees, you will quickly come to Him. If you only see how God sees you, you will quickly run to Him for forgiveness. God is saying to you, come now. I know your open rebellion. I know your secret rebellion. I know your open sins, and I know your hidden sins. And I'm saying, come, come, come now.
That's the first thing. It's the appeal that God makes to a rebellious people. The second thing we note is the duty of examining your moral character and conduct alongside with God. Your duty to examine your moral conduct and character alongside with God. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. God is calling you to duty. But this duty of examining yourself must be done alongside with God. God is saying to these people that when you commit sins, firstly, it's against me, the Almighty God. And then there's you who's committing that sin. And so don't begin to look at sin from your angle alone. Let's look at your sins from my side as well. Let's reason together. Let's sit and look at your life and examine your side. And let me show you what I think about you, what I know about you. And let's look at your character and your conduct. But this time, from my side. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. And the phrase, let us reason together, it's a legal terminology that it's the Bible is using there. God is saying, let us settle this matter before a court. Let's go to the courts of law. Let us set this case. Now bear in mind that as you go to these courts of law, I am also the judge in that court. And I've got all the evidence before you. And I've brought them before you. And I'm now saying, let's hear your side. Let's settle this matter once and for all. The people of Israel had rebelled against God. They had broken the covenant God had made with them. And they had failed to uphold their side of the contract. And because of that, God now comes before them and says, come, let us reason together. God is not saying, I'm calling you to a debate. Let's debate this issue of your sins. No, God is saying, this is what I know about you. This is what I've said about you. This is who you are. And this is the evidence. Now let's see whether I'm lying. And he said, let's begin the court process. Let's hear you. Let's come, you argue your case. Let's see how you're going to argue against the all-seeing and knowing God. Let's see what excuse you'll have. Let's see what you'll use in your defense. What defense will you have before this God who knows all things, who sees all things, and who's present everywhere? What is it that you say to this God? And he's telling the nation of Israel that come,
Let us reason together. And by him saying, let us reason together, he's not saying, let's debate. He's saying, look, I've brought the case before you. I've shown you the evidence I have. And now I'm saying to you, if you are in your right minds, you need to reach a point where you say, God, you are true, you are correct, and I'm sorry for everything I've done. That's what God is saying to you. He's saying, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. He's giving you an opportunity to confess your sins. He's offering you a chance to make peace with him. He's saying, let us reason together. He's saying, forget about what you think about yourself. Forget about your personal credentials. Forget about what people think about you. The only thing you need to deal with is what I, the Almighty God, the Creator of all things, thinks about you. And this is what God says of you. You are born a sinner. You've continued to sin against God. And because of your sins, if you don't come to God on God's terms, you will be destroyed. You need to examine your character, examine your conduct alongside with God. Scrutinize yourself before God. Lock yourself with God and let your spirit and the infinite mind of God reason together. God is coming to your level and is stepping down in mercy and grace and is saying, let us reason together. He's saying, let my infinite mind, my infinite wisdom shine in your sinful heart and show you your condition of your heart, and then let's see what your defense will be. And he's saying, once God has done that, the only thing that will be before you will be your sinfulness and your desperate need of God. And God, he's calling individuals and not groups of people. He's saying to you as an individual, he's saying, come now. Now, don't wait. Come now, let us reason together. I have something against you. I have issues to deal with you. And if we go before the courts of law, where I am the judge, and I am the standard of what is right and what is wrong, you will not stand before my courts of law. But I want to settle this matter outside the courts. Let's reason together. It is you I want to settle matters with. It is you who sinned against God. And it is you God is saying to, come now, let us reason together. And God is saying, you know yourself, you know your heart, you know your sin, and you know what you've done against him. And he's saying, all that I know. And even in case you think there's those things you did in the dark, even those things I know. And I have all the records. I have all the evidence to throw you in hell. But I'm giving you an opportunity to come, examine your character and conduct But let me be present. Let me be in the picture. Let me deal it with you. And once I deal it with you, you'll see your desperate need of me in your life. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. The third thing we note is that this self-scrutiny in God's presence reveals that there is forgiveness with God. When you scrutinize yourself, examine yourself, in the presence of God, you see that there is forgiveness with God. And that's what we pick in the last part of verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And what the Bible is saying to us there is that though in this process of joint examination, you and God, though your sins may be found out, though your condition, the state of your heart may be known and exposed to you by God, you will discover that with this God, there is forgiveness. And this is what God is telling us there. That there is forgiveness with God. If there was no forgiveness, then this joint examination of God and the sinner will be a distress to the sinner. It will be agony to the sinner, because the sinner will know that having been examined and having been found wanting, there's no hope for me. In this life, for the life to come, there's no hope for me, because I've sinned against God and I've continued to sin against God. But there the Bible gives us the fullest of assurance that there is forgiveness with God. When God comes into your heart and opens up your hearts and your mind and shows you your sin, and when he shows you your sins, he points you to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness in God. And he's demonstrated it in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he's saying to all of us. This is what he said to the nation of Israel. Wash your hands. Your hands is full of blood. I don't delight in your religious rituals. I don't delight in your religious observations. Wash your hands, which are full and stained with blood. And this is what God is saying to you this morning. God is not interested in your religious rituals. God is not interested in you observing religious activities so that may shadow the real you. God knows all things. And he knows that by you observing those religious rituals so that you hide your true identity of the state of your heart, God is looking at you and he's saying, who is he fooling? But he promises us that when we go before him and we seal our need of him And we see the hope that we have has shown and given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go to Christ and cry out to him for the forgiveness of your sins. And you turn away from sin and put your hope and trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find forgiveness in him. You will find forgiveness. God is saying, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. And God is saying, he's able to do that. He's able to cleanse you from your sins. And the words that the prophet Isaiah uses, scarlet and crimson, refers to a dye that was gotten from an insect or sometimes from a shellfish. And it is believed that that dye, once it stained a cloth, it could never be removed. That cloth was permanently stained. But Isaiah is saying, with God, he has the power to remove the stain of sin upon your life, upon your mind, upon your conscience. Your sin, which is a stain upon you, and it appears like it's a permanent stain, when you come to God and wash in the blood of Christ, it will be removed from you. That's a promise that God gives, that there is forgiveness in Christ. And the one who's making this promise is one who has the power and the ability to remove sin and forgive sin. The very God who invites you to come and reason with him. The very God who investigates the corruption of your heart. The very God who examines your heart. The very God who's saying to you, come. He's a very God who offers a way out of your situation. He's the same God who's saying, I have forgiveness with me. And when you come to me, I will forgive you of your sins. God does not say after this joint examination that this is what I've found about you. This is the state of your heart. Go deal with it yourself. Instead, he shows you the state of your heart. And then he points you to the solution that he himself has come up with. He himself has provided. And that solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ offers pardon for sin. He died so that you and I can find forgiveness in him. There's no wickedness that surpasses the pardoning love of God in Christ Jesus. There is no amount of sin that will surpass the pardoning love of God in Christ. It doesn't matter how deep you've gone into sin, divine grace outruns and exceeds your sin. The Bible tells us that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up. And surely that shows us that God is able to deal with any sin. Grace outruns the extent of your sins. And when you come to Christ, there is forgiveness in Christ. There is a fountain that is filled with blood. And any sinner who is plunged beneath that flood will lose all the guilty stains of sins. There is forgiveness with God. And that's why he's inviting all of us to come before him, examine ourselves alongside with him, and the sincerity of it must be done, bearing in mind that you cannot fool God. And so when you examine yourself, let the standard be God. Let God be the one who's going to say what he thinks of you, what he says of you, what he knows of you, and what God says of you. Let that be the standard of who you are. That's the true you. The one in rebellion against the God who loves you so much. Not your outward appearance that you put. It's the inner you that is the true you. And God knows it. And he's saying, come. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They'll be washed. They'll be removed from you. And those sins will no longer hold you guilty before God. There is forgiveness in God. And he's demonstrated it for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises to remove sins as far as the east is from the west, the earth from the heavens. So God will remove your sins if you come and believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This self-scrutiny in God's presence is what brings a sinner to realize that this God, who is very sincere in his threats to punish sin, is also very sincere in forgiving sin. You need to examine yourself alongside God. You need to look yourself and come face to face with this God. And let God deal with you. Let God open up your life. Let God show you your sinfulness, your rebellion, and even those sinful acts that you've forgotten. Let God show you the extent of your sin. And let God show you that to delay to come to him is dangerous. Because you don't know what lies ahead of you. You need to come to the Savior. Make no delays. God is able to see what lies ahead of you. In fact, he knows what lies ahead of you. You can't see what lies ahead of you. You don't know what lies ahead of you. But this gracious God has revealed it in his word. That those who continue in a path of rebellion, there's a place he's prepared, and it is called hell. It is a place where you usher all those who are in rebellion against him. It is a place away from hope, away from friends, away from families, away from the love of God. It is a place with the wrath of God. God is there, but as a God of wrath.
That's a place that God has prepared for all those in rebellion against him. And he's saying, come now. That's my appeal to you. Come now. Examine your character alongside me. And let that examination point you to the forgiveness that is in me, says your God. He knows all about you. And he knows that you cannot stand before him and argue out your case with him. He knows everything about you and is pleading with you while you have time. Come now. Because this appeal will not be forever be made. The time will come when this appeal will fade until it will be heard no more. When you close your eyes in death and you wake up to the other side, only to see the righteous judge, the living God, standing before you and calling you to account for your sins. And in that moment, this appeal will be no more. God will not be saying to you, let us reason together. That moment, God will be saying to you, you had the chance, the opportunity, you heard the gospel, you heard me appeal to you through many preachers, through many Bible studies, through many church services. You heard my appeal. Now your time is no more. You heard the urgency and the seriousness of my appeal. Now is the time for me to deal with you. Don't wait for that time when it will be too late to deal with your sins. God, in his grace, is still saying to all of us, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them to be white, says God. Do not delay. Don't become too familiar with these things. Do not delay. Deal with your sins now, today, this very moment. God is speaking and is appealing to you to come now. Don't wait, for you may never have that opportunity to deal with your sins. Don't wait, for it might be too late. Why go to hell with this message upon your heart? Why go to hell and regret in the flames of torment, in the lake of fire, wishing like the rich man that you, if you could only go back and make things right, if only you could be given a chance to leave this place and go back to that time when you heard people say to you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will be saved and have everlasting life. Why wait and regret in hell, saying, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and listen when I was taught, for God so loved the world. God is speaking to you. Examine yourself before God. And may that examination lead you to His Son, to plead for mercies, for grace, and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Amen.